Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to a celebration of our relationship with our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 to 21 say this: I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are for your glory. For this reason, I, Paul, bow my knees before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that God the Father would grant you, according to his glorious riches, to be strengthened with power by his Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in unconditional love, an agricultural analogy, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all believers in Christ, what is the breadth, how wide, and the length, how long, and the height, how high, and the depth, how deep the Lord's unconditional love is, and to know that unconditional love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to God the Father, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to that power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church, and in union with Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. What a powerful set of words directed at us as believers in Christ, that we have a power that works within us. Did we forget? We have a power that works within us, a power that is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we would ask or think. And it is that amazing power that we come to learn about today. And as God prepares our souls for celebration of worshiping him, let's adore our Lord in song. The opening song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Indeed, love.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Unify us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, God's Enemy at Work in Barah Ministries. God's Enemy at Work in Barah Ministries. So in the last lesson, we talked about those three lifestyles that Satan offers us. They are alive and well here in Barah Ministries, and we're going to talk about that in this lesson. And we're going to pick up our study in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. But first, we have a few announcements. So the first one is no face-to-face teaching, no lessons online next week, June 1st, 2014. Take the week off. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is June 8th, 2014. We're in our new location, 1220 South Alma School Road, which is Alma School and Southern, the place where Mesa decided to tear up, Suite 201, Mesa, Arizona. And we invite you to join us if you haven't, because it's all torn up. Happy birthday to William Goodall, May 18th. So last Sunday after church, about what, 5 or 6 hours, 8 hours after church, Deacon Denny and Emily Goodall's son William showed up. He was trying to choke himself with the umbilical cord, and so they thought, we better go in and get the bad boy. And so the newest member of our congregation has finally arrived. And prayer for his parents and for him. Prayers for them as they adjust to the challenge of parenting, and prayers for him as he adjusts to the challenges of being alive among them, learning how to eat. And so he's having some difficulties in eating, and we'd appreciate your prayers for him. So Deacon Denny, I'm looking forward to celebrating your first Father's Day with you coming up here in June. And I can tell you that when I got the news on my phone, I just did a happy dance on the bed in Philadelphia, because I haven't been happier for anybody. You guys went through a lot of trials and tribulations to get him here, and you know, Emily spent a lot of time in bed to make sure that it was safe for him to come here, and so I just couldn't be happier for two people who I think are just some of the most wonderful people I've ever met, and I'm looking forward to loving him as if he's my own. Dorothy, you're a great grandmother again, right? We knew you were a great grandmother, but you're a great grandma again. Congratulations, Susie and Mike. That's just fantastic news for everybody. Happy birthday coming up to Octoman Norbert Baird, who on June 5th is going to be 4 score years old. Now I know you younger folks, you don't know what the 4 score thing is, right? But for us older guys, we had to memorize, you know, what is that, the Declaration of Independence? 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers set forth upon this continent. Whatever. I don't care what it was. I had to memorize it. Oh, like you know it, right, Matt?
I know where it
is. The Gettysburg Address. I thought the Gettysburg Address was 3312 East Tulsa Street. I didn't even know. They told me about that. No, happy birthday coming up, Norbert. 80 years old. That's fantastic, right? And miles to go before I sleep. Many more to you. We're going to visit the vets on June 22nd at 1:45 p.m. See Susie Embry for details. Let's go serve some ice cream to the vets and talk some smack and learn about the wars. Now let's take the offering. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Dad.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Daddy. I mean Deacon Denny. I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. And this week I figured out why bad things happen to good people. And it's because of the, you know, becoming a, you know, starting a family. You see through the eyes of God by experiencing bad things, because the best person in the universe experienced the worst possible thing to him, Jesus. And when we see through the eyes of a family and through the eyes of a mother and a father, you see what God saw when he sent his own son to the cross. Horrible, horrible thing it had to have been. Horrible, horrible sacrifice that he went through. And without family and going through those kind of things, you would never have that sense. You would never have that ability to see through God's eyes. And we share in everything of his, the good, but also the bad. And, you know, with seeing a family and seeing the pain that Emily went through after the C-section was just horrible. I hated to see it. And now me as a father struggling, you know, the little guys in his spaceship, as we call it. It's actually an isolette, but it's no fun, you know, seeing him he had the IV in his head at one point, and they moved it to his hand, and they're having trouble sticking him, so they put it in his belly, which Emily hates to see. But, you know, he's safe, and God's on both sides of this obstacle. He's here, and he's on the other side when we get through this. And I think another perfect example is the military. I mean, imagine sending your sons and daughters off to war, knowing that that last hug is the last time you might see them. I mean, that's got to be really tough. So this week I chose Romans 8:17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So, you know, the glory comes when that boy comes home and we get to raise him. It's going to be amazing, you know. This little momentary and light affliction is just, it'll pass. And it's so fun to be a father finally. And it's going to be so fun to put you guys through a bad time now, because I have to come around and collect the offering. So bad things truly do happen to good people. So if you don't give, it might be worse. But thank you for your continual support, and we really appreciate it here at Barah Ministries. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Denny Daddy. Today's study, Romans chapter 2, God's enemy at work in Barah Ministries. Am I on? Yeah, I'm on? Good. Well, in the last lesson, we introduced the idea that God has an enemy, and he is always seeking the opportunity for a vicious spiritual attack. And even though he is predictable, he always finds the perfect patsy to use for his attacks. The one who, when they are used, would do the most damage to the person or entity being attacked. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. We'll go to verse 17. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So if you have problems in your life and you think it's about people, it's not. This says, our struggle is not against souls and sin natures. That's people. Our struggle is against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. God, his word, pastors, and churches are the target of these vicious attacks by the kingdom of darkness. Now, I told you in the last lesson, 2005, of people 16 to 29 years old in Christian churches, non-denominational Christian churches, 57% of them do not believe that there is a Satan. Now, do you know what that means? What that means is that, and I don't believe for a second that in the last 9 years that has improved. So what that means is this. There are people who, when there's a conflict in the church, don't believe that it's being orchestrated by the kingdom of darkness. Don't believe that they're the patsy of the kingdom of darkness. They believe it's just people. It's just a people conflict. Now, every one of us here has a people conflict with somebody in our lives. Raise your hand if you don't. Awesome. So I'm not the only one, right? Well, this says it's not against souls and sin natures. So your conflict that you think is a people conflict isn't. It's a conflict that is instigated by the world system, by Satan, the enemy of God and his system. That means that if you're in a dispute with another person, that you're a patsy. Our Lord says, not Rory, our Lord says a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Third word. What is the third word of that? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What's the word? Enemies. You have any enemies in your family? I do. As a matter of fact, my mom comes from a family of 18 kids. I have one cousin that's cool. and one cousin who was cool and is dead. And she died at 29 years old. But of all the cousins I have, there are two that are cool, and there are a bunch of them that are not. And I know that I'm not the only one who experiences that. And this tells me why, right here. Because that stuff is orchestrated in families. A prophet has honor, just not in his own hometown and not with his own family members. That's why people like me a lot better outside of Barah Ministries than they do here. When I go to other places, if I go to a conference, they love me at the conference. You know why? Because I came from more than 5 miles away. That's why. It's amazing. I'm an expert. That's the definition of an expert, somebody who comes from more than 5 miles away. But when you're in the same place for a prolonged period of time, people stop listening to your voice and start to detest it, as a matter of fact. That is not a soul and sin nature problem. It's a kingdom of darkness orchestrated problem. And there isn't one person in this room that is exempt from that problem. Not one. Every one of us either has or will experience that. As much as we are really happy for little Billy Boy. Okay, scratch that. Delete it. Sorry, Emily. She doesn't want him called Billy. But as much as we are happy that he's here, we know that one day he's going to be a teenager. And he's going to start mouthing off. And that's the day you need to send him to Camp Rory for 30 days, because I'm going to get him straightened out about what happened over the last 2.5 months to get him here. And when he comes back to you, he will not be mouthing off. But we know it'll happen. And it's not souls and sin natures. It's the orchestration of the kingdom of darkness. And I think in Christian churches, we are extremely naive to think that God doesn't have an enemy and that that enemy isn't orchestrating these kinds of conflicts that we're having in Barah Ministries right now. Verse 13, therefore, how do we handle it? Pick up and put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, we're to play defense. That's what that verse says. We're to play defense. We are not to raise our hands over our head and claim the victory, even though we have it. You know, the whole book of Ephesians is organized so beautifully. Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 3, sit down and learn. Ephesians 4 and 5, walk, have a lifestyle. Ephesians 6, take a stand. That's how God orchestrates our life. And there is a point in our life where we'll have to take a stand. There's a point in this ministry when we first started, the first 3 years, sit. And what were we doing in the sit? We were learning about Christ. Then start to walk in it. You know, we started to get our locomotion a little bit, started to feel our oats. Yeah, what do we want to do? And now it's time to take a stand. Now, the kingdom of darkness was working against us the whole time, but now it's loud. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore. Play defense. Having girded your loins with truth, the belt of a Roman soldier was the centerpiece for all the attachments that went on. And the analogy here is this. Your choices and your integrity are your belt. Because the Roman soldier had the choice to plug in a lot of things to defend into that belt. Your choice, your integrity, your operation in situations is your belt. So stand firm, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What was that? The breastplate is the thing that was able to absorb all of the missiles, all of the arrows. And for you, you were set apart into a righteousness. We talked about it in the last lesson. You were set apart for good works. The breastplate, I don't know what's wrong with me with that one. The breastplate of righteousness is you having been picked up out of the kingdom of darkness and put into a situation where you can take the flaming missiles of the evil one. and counteract them with your own righteousness. And I think as Christians, we forget that God gave us this gift to use in a defensive way. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that is not a call to evangelism. That is a call to comfort. Because defense is non-movement. So this is not telling you to take the offense. It's telling you, when you hear Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 3, and you're hearing about the gospel, don't be thinking that that doesn't apply to you just because it's describing unbelievers. What that should tell you, what those three chapters should give you, is a tremendous amount of comfort. Because you have responded positively to the gospel, and all of Romans is telling you what that means to you. And the first thing it's doing is saying, this was your condition, and here's what the gospel did for you. It's awesome. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then, take the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and all kinds of good things will happen to you. Now, when we get into a problem in a ministry, we are not to think that it is a people problem, but we do. And so we're going to talk about that today because people have asked me to stop talking in code. Because I've been talking about this problem in code. Now, we would be naive to think that Satan is not interested in attacking Barah Ministries, its pastor, its deacons, their wives, and its congregation members. He is interested. And he is interested because this is a place where unity could possibly exist. There are people in this congregation who are going to be getting married at the end of this year. Me among them. You two. Right? Right now, you're two flesh. Yeah, you better be joking. She just pulled out a shank. Right now, you are two flesh. She did. Are you Turkish? I mean, because the speed at which you pull that out was almost like, it was like Turk. You know? I was watching 24 the other day, and this lady stabbed this guy in the ear and just kind of carved out his brain. It was just wicked. Right now, the unmarried couple is two flesh. Satan goes, big deal. You wait till you say, I do. Then the two become one flesh, and that's called unity. And then it's ball game on. And I'm about to join that fray after a 10-year absence. Ball game on. Don't be naive enough to think that Satan is just going to let you rest and that he's not going to consider it a personal affront that you have decided to be united. He is very interested in attacking Barah Ministries, its pastor, the deacons, their wives, and its congregation members, and he will use any means necessary to do it. And I've seen it for 7 years. And he always picks the perfect time to do it, just when we're beginning to get a little traction at Barah Ministries. We've got a nice location. Next thing you know, we're going to have some cool stuff up on the wall. Next thing you know, we're going to have a podium, a nice podium. Next thing you know, people are going to start coming here. Now it's starting to get all cool. What do you think is going to happen? Satan's going to go, no big deal. They're small. It's not how he works. There are factions in Barah Ministries. That should not surprise us. The Bible predicts that there will be factions in churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 and 19, Paul calls out the factions in the Corinthian church. Here's what he says. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. What is he saying? There are people that trust what's going on here and people that don't. And that's the truth. Now, when you talk to human beings, when people don't trust what's going on here, they will put on a pretty dress on the fact that they don't trust it. You know, it's like you either do it or you don't, or you try. And try is don't do it with a pretty dress on. Try is an advance excuse for not doing it. Right? So Satan always has the two programs, the antagonism and the indifference. The try program. Well, I was trying. Well, trying isn't doing. Doing is doing. Not doing is not doing. Try is lukewarm. Revelation talks about lukewarm. I'd rather you be cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. The Lord doesn't like the deception of lukewarm. In the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear the divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. 1 Corinthians 11:19, for there must be factions among you so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Those who trust will be evident among you, and those who don't will be evident among you. We were not going to be the ones who escaped that. This is not the first set of factions that has happened in Barah Ministries. I was sitting here just before this lesson, and, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, my hands are sweating a little bit. I'm thinking, you know, nobody wants to stand up and scold adults. Least of all me. Don't want to do it. That's why I've avoided it for so long. Don't want to do it. I don't think you should have to scold adults. You know why? Because there's this little thing that God gives us that I really believe in. It's called free will. Do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. But please be aware of what you do and how it has an effect. Please don't be naive enough to think that the things you do don't have an effect, because they do. And Christians cannot afford this effect. We got that out there. Let's don't turn this into that. We have a chance to do something cool in here. Why do we want to turn this into that? Out there, if you own a business, the person will tell you, the people will tell you, you know, if I complained about one of my employees, the people would tell you, well, you got to hold them accountable. How do you do that? Could somebody please teach me that? How do you hold adults who have free will accountable? Because I've never been able to pull it off. You know what I've done instead? I've done what my Lord told me to do. I have provided a place for people to have freedom. And what I have seen is when you do that and you keep paying them, which is you give them security, they take advantage of the freedom. Now, does that surprise you? And what I was called is an enabler. I'm an enabler because I didn't fire them. No, I'm not. Because if I'm an enabler because I didn't fire them, then you Christians should be fired. Every time you sin, you should be fired. God doesn't do that to us. John 10:28. I give eternal life to them, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And I'm running a business where people have freedom, and they take advantage of it. And I wouldn't have it any other way while I provide the security. I wouldn't have it any other way, would you? Because I don't think we have to run our lives as Christians like everybody runs it out there. Because what magnificence is there if you treat a person like they're a dolphin? As long as you're giving me cool stuff, I'll flip you a fish. And when you stop doing cool stuff, I won't give you the fish. People aren't dolphins to me. This is a special place. This isn't that out there. This is a special place. And this needs to be treated like a special place. This is a place to escape from all that. This is not business. This is intensely personal. Now, when we hear there are factions in the Corinthian church, we believe it. Any church that needs two letters written to it in 29 chapters obviously has a problem. The Philippians only have four chapters written to them. Same thing in the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 forces Paul to say, "You foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you?" Paul was a pastor to that church. And you can only imagine what was going on in there. And it wasn't cool stuff. He wasn't yelling at the Corinthians because cool stuff was going on there. They were the masters of the phallic cult. That was lasciviousness personified. It was modern day Atlanta. And the Galatian church, goofballs, flakes. When Paul was there, phenomenal. The minute he left, bewitched. Parents, can you relate? Your kids are great when you're bossing them around. And the minute you disappear, they lose their minds. I had that happen when my two boys went to college. Great while I was around. Then they went to college and lost their minds. And okay, I don't begrudge them that. I don't begrudge them that. They wanted to run the lascivious, the religious, the self-righteous lifestyle like all of us do. Amen? Now, you would think that our little church would be beyond such pettiness. It is not. There are factions in Barah Ministries, and it's time for me to speak up about it because I've been ignoring it. Early in the days of Barah Ministries, when someone would start being negative and chirping about it, I would go to them, tell them to shut up. If they didn't shut up, I'd kick them out. I can name names of people I've asked not to come back here. Did that work? Did it work? No, it didn't work. Okay, so Pastor Rory did the first thing that didn't work. Because I'm going to try stuff, right? That didn't work. All right, so ignoring it didn't work either. Because when new people come to Barah Ministries, they get wind of the negativity and they leave. And when they leave, they make comments like this. I just didn't feel welcome at your church. That's code. That's code. They're not telling me what the truth is. It's code. Now, it has been called to my attention by people I have respected and trusted that Barah Ministries is not growing because of me. My lessons are no good. They're dull. My leadership is no good. The music is dull. The church is not lively, and it's all my fault. I accept the criticism. And it is my fault. You know why? Because I'm at the point. I'm right here. The buck stops here. It's my fault. It's my watch, and I am to blame. I accept that. I signed up for that abuse. I'm totally okay with it. And by the way, that's not feedback, it's criticism. It's destructive. How do I know it's criticism? Because there's nothing wrong with dissatisfaction. I'm regularly dissatisfied. But when the chirping is only talk and is never followed by actions to change things, then you know it's destructive. You want to talk? Talk. You want to be dissatisfied? Great. Fix it. And quit chirping. Now, I'm not sure who the chirpers think is going to change things here. It's not going to be me. I have a list of things I want done. I have given that list out, and I don't see too many people rushing to the front of the line to do my list. But let's say that they did. When everything I want is done, there will still be factions. When everything you want is done, there will still be factions. So is the issue the list? Maybe it's not a soul and sin nature problem. Maybe it's the world forces of this darkness that's the problem. And maybe they don't take vacations. Maybe they're not going to take a break. Maybe they're actively working at ruining your relationships, your marriages, your friendships, your business. Maybe. Larry Collins came in here and changed everything. A lot of people have wanted us to move into a new location of our own, including me, and a lot of people have participated in the groundwork, but Larry was the glue who helped people gel to get it done. He has worked tirelessly to make it happen, and now the negativity is affecting him. Now the negativity is affecting him. And that bothers me. You see, if Barah Ministries is waiting for me to do everything, it will never get done because I can't organize a new location, lead the deacons, hand-holding them on every project, get the donuts, take on a task list, run the website, do the audio, do the video, head up the evangelism effort, lead us in prayer, be a spiritual advisor, solicit volunteers for the nursery, teach the teens, do conferences, perform weddings, which is what I'm doing next week, and do the lessons. I can't do it. Give me a list if you want to. I will stupidly take on something that you give to me, and then when it doesn't happen on your time frame, you'll think I'm a jerk. I was the jerk when I said I would do it. I can't do that stuff. Doing two lessons a week is a 20-hour-a-week job, period. Doing three lessons, which I have done for 6 years, is a 30-hour-a-week job, and I had another thing to do because Barah Ministries does not pay my salary. This is the first year I've taken money. Now, I've been accused of being a double-minded man because I'm serving God and mammon. I struggled with that myself for 2 years. So get in the back of the line. But then I finally realized that the only church who supported Paul was the Philippian church. And it was the last church in his circuit. Before that, he worked. He made tents and taught. I have to work or I starve. And I have an easy job. Just happens to be that I travel for it, but it's an easy job. Teaching is like falling off a log to me. And the thing I'm teaching, I've been teaching it for 3 decades. It's a piece of cake. It's tiring, but I love it. I'd do it for free. Don't tell my clients. I can't do everything. I've been doing a lot of those things. But as I see it, this is not my church. This is our church. This is a body of Christ, and all parts of the body are necessary for a body to grow. Chirping does not cause growth. It causes divisions, and it needs to stop. You chirpers need to shut your mouths. Stop pointing at me and build the church. There is always a time when the leader's voice is not valued, and if I could be Phil Jackson, who is the master of coaches, I would resign for a year, walk away until you come to your senses, and then I'd come back. That's what he always did. As soon as the team stopped listening to him, he'd quit. Then after a year, they'd say, oh, man, this is so much fun, and he'd come back, and they were listening to him again. That's what you ought to do. And I've never seen coaches do that. Most coaches, when the team stops listening to them, they get fired. And then they get this big stigma stain on them as if they did something wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. They're doing the same thing they were doing before. They were just too stupid to quit and come back a year later. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to value my voice or my contributions. I'm okay with it. But why don't you ask Larry? Ask someone who's new to the ministry what he sees, and if he is being honest with you, he'll tell you the blind spots of Barah Ministries. And then you can decide what you want to do about it. Now, Larry's opinion, of course, will be colored by his absolutely amazing expectation that everyone is really interested in doing the right thing. What a breath of fresh air to have a man like that standing side by side with me, building this church. What a breath of fresh air for that. To me, a church is not like a business, because in a business, if you don't perform, you're out. A church is a place of freedom. A church is a place of grace. You remember that? You remember grace? You remember when we used to actually think that that was important in Christianity? Grace? It's always important when we want to get it. But when it's time to give it, that's another matter, isn't it? Be clear on something. You don't move as fast as I would like. I figured that out 3 years in. You don't do what I ask. I figured that out 1 year in. I am not interested in coercing your free will because this is a place of freedom. You see, people used to tell me, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I did not buy that. I think you can lead a horse to water, and if they don't drink, you can make them drink. What you do is you pull, get their head behind the mane, you force their face down into the water, you lift their tail, and you suck like hell. Now, that is not particularly tasteful, but it really works. And if you want me to do that, I can do it. I can force you. I can intimidate you. I can berate you into doing it. Is that what you want? You want a tyrant? I can be that. I'm good at it. Authority without freedom? I'm great at it. Chaos, I'm not good at. Freedom without authority, I'm not good at that. But I'm not interested in coercing your free will. Does it anger me? Hell yes. But what can I do about it? All I can do is stand back and watch the deliverance of the Lord. And in the 15 years that this ministry has existed, he has made this ministry that has communicated with people all over the world. And one day we're going to see how many souls were saved because of this mediocre effort that we're putting in. I'm proud of his accomplishments. Now, if you don't think that I'm doing the job you want done as a pastor, bring in a new one. It's as simple as that. And you know what will happen? The same thing. It's just a matter of timing. You'll listen to him. You'll be all enamored with him. Then you'll get bored with him. And then you'll turn on him. So that's the way it goes down. In every church. Everywhere over the world. Every relationship. Every business. Every parenting situation. That's the way it always goes down. And you know what my comment about that is? This is not original. This all started in the angelic realm. Jesus Christ, the perfect one, experienced the same thing. This isn't new. There are many. I admire Larry's work. He has never once been bothered that I want to have input into a decision. My input has never stopped a project from progressing. It has been valued and included. And if I'm not moving fast enough for Larry, he doesn't sit on the sidelines and pout about it. He keeps nudging. If Larry disagrees, he's upfront about it, kind as he is about it, and we work through the disagreement and we resolve it in a way that works for both of us and for all concerned. And he doesn't pout and sulk and chirp about it. There are many who are similar in their support. Deacon Denny, Susie, Mike, I appreciate your support. To the non-resident congregation, thank you for your unwavering support, especially financially, because you make so much of what we do possible here. There are people who are not even here who provide 60% of our support as a ministry. They're not even here. Are we grateful for them? And do we do anything to show it? You chirpers need to shut up. Your destructiveness has reached epidemic proportions, and it makes this a not-so-fun place to be. It can be fun for you, but I'm tired of being silent about it. And right now, I'm not going to name names. If the chirping continues, I will name names and give specifics, because this has to stop. Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say to the chirpers in the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "I, Paul, brethren, believers in Christ, could not speak to you as I would speak to spiritual men, the mature Christian. I have to speak to you as if I were speaking to men of flesh, as if I am speaking to infants in Christ, new believers. I gave you milk to drink as if you're babies, not solid food as if you're mature, for you weren't yet able to receive solid food. Indeed, even now, you're not able to receive solid food, for you're still fleshly, that is, acting like new believers. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men, imitating the lifestyle of unbelievers?" That's what strife is. Strife is chirping. So when you think that you go in the background and start running your mouth, that you're not doing something, you're doing something to your own soul, and you're doing something to the soul of the person who's on the recipient end of your chirping. And it's destructive. It's not constructive. It does not help. And it never built a church. Chirping never built a church. As Christians, we read these words. We study these words. These are the words of our Lord. These are not the words of Rory. And I think we forget that what comes out of this pulpit does not come from Rory. This is not my opinion. I'm not sitting around all weekend writing out my opinion, because if I were, it would happen a lot faster than those lessons happen. And then I could get to watch the hockey game. So we read these words, we study these words, we know what this means, but we chirp anyway, and it needs to stop. We need to act like we have maturity in Christ, as if we are people who actually are studying the Bible regularly, because we are. But alas, we always seek to self-destruct. We always look to profane our own sanctuary, and there's our sanctuary. That's the one page of Christianity. Our God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the manifest member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. 100% God and 100% man and one person forever. He provides us with the Word, the truth, 66 books, which would be transferred into our brains for operation. A pastor, I am a gift to you. A gift as a person and as the spiritual gift. And then this ministry, a gift to us, which could be closed at any moment if God doesn't like what's going on here. And it hasn't been. For 15 years, he has provided the sustenance for this ministry and for this pastor. A gift. Now, if you are against any one of those entities, you're against the whole entity. I didn't say that. The Lord said it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, if you think what you're doing is criticizing me, that's not what you're doing. You're criticizing God. You're criticizing his word. You're criticizing his church as well. And Satan loves four bangers. That's a four banger. That's why he loves divorce. Divorce is a three banger. Your soul, your family, and your marriage loves it. He loves it. The kingdom of darkness loves destroying unity. Now, I am constantly blamed for people who leave Barah Ministries. And believe me, I play my part in it. And I am asked, do you know why people leave Barah Ministries? It's not really a question, it's a statement. I'm the reason people leave Barah Ministries. Okay, I get it. And if I were not in this pastor's slot, whoever assumes this slot would be the reason people leave. And even if the chirpers were in this spot, people would leave. All right, so guess what? I'm here for the people who stay. I'm not here for the people who leave. I'm here for the people who stay. I have played that game in my life. I used to, when I go into the classroom in corporations, I'd have 90 people in front of me listening to me and one guy who was got his arms crossed, and I would ignore the 90 and go after that guy. Now, that guy, I do everything I can to make sure that guy is fired as fast as possible. I'm here for the people who stay. I watch the people who leave. Do you? Do you see them with flourishing experiences in spirituality? Because I don't. Do you? I don't. Maybe I'm missing something. You could help me. And I'm not saying that this is the only flourishing experience in spirituality. It isn't. But I'm saying people who leave keep on leaving until the only thing that they have is themselves. And what a horrid experience that is. I spent the last 10 years in that experience, and I'll tell you what that's like. If you need a pastor without flaws, I'm not the guy, and when you get him, I want to meet him. If you want to blame me for everything, feel free. I'll take the blame. Then what? Does it fix the problem? It doesn't. You just figured out that you have a pastor who's a human being. I've been telling you that all along. You don't like it that I tell you that. You don't believe it that I tell you that. Do you think I'm going to be the pastor who doesn't lose his reputation? You know, I got a friend who's one of the greatest pastors in the history of mankind, Pastor John Farley, who had a manic episode in his pulpit. And now he's a nut job in the minds of everybody that's down there. He's a nut job. That guy is amazing. His teaching has never been better. But he has no reputation. Do you think I'm going to escape that? I'm not going to escape that. And you're going to have a pastor soon with no reputation. Then we'll see who you are. I already knew that was coming. I knew when I signed on the dotted line for this job that was coming. Now, when it comes, what are you going to be like? That's really the question. If you want to contribute to Barah Ministries, you might have to take feedback from me about your idea. And if you don't like feedback, that's a problem. If you want different music, talk to her, June. She's a song worship leader. They think your music thing is horrible. Okay? So now, you can do one of two things. You can just keep doing what you're doing, or you can go find out what they want and bring it in, including other people. Whatever it is, do it. Give yourself a break. If you want reparations for my past errors, I can't fix what's over. I can't fix the past. I wish you'd quit talking about it. I can't fix it. It's time to turn the page. And I think the page turn is called forgiveness. Remember that? You remember that? I think it's called grace. Remember that? Or how about unconditional love? Remember that? If you want to complain about the content of the lessons or the pace of instruction, talk to God the Holy Spirit. He's the one doing it. I like moving faster. And every time I try to move faster, he brings me right back. And you know where he's got me stuck right now? Self-righteousness. Do you think it's a message? I think it is. Now, if you hear anger in my voice, and by the way, God the Holy Spirit is pretty satisfied with his pace. Now, if you hear anger in my voice, maybe it's me, because I am prone to bouts of anger. Or maybe it's the person who powers my voice when I'm in the pulpit, God the Holy Spirit. It would be pretty terrible if you thought it was him expressing righteous indignation toward you, would it not? So it's got to be me, because that's easier for you to take than this is God the Holy Spirit telling me to tell you to get off your butt. We have a week off next week. It would be a pretty good time for all of us to look in the mirror at how we're serving God with this ministry. I think we could be doing much more than this if we were willing to start looking to God for the answers and if we were willing to start serving others rather than being obsessed with self and blaming everybody else. Blaming is an original. It started in the garden. This woman, the one you gave me, she gave me of the apple and I ate. Woman, what have you done? The serpent? It's been done. Blame. Didn't work out. Most of all, we need to remember that God has an enemy and he loves creating divisions. And we must not forget that we are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against souls and sin natures. Our struggle is not against people. Remember this? You remember this? Because I hear that this is the word of God. I hear this is the exact thinking of Jesus Christ. And I know that in the last year, a lot of that's been coming out of this pulpit. I'm proud of what's been coming out of this pulpit in the last year and a half. I'm proud that I stood up against heresy in systematic theology. I'm glad that I stood up against false teachers and their false teaching. I'm proud of that. And I'm proud that what you're hearing now is not my opinions. Because my opinions in $2 will get you a cup of Starbucks or Dutch Brothers, whatever you want. Our struggle isn't against souls and sin natures. It's against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what controls your mouth, chirpers. The kingdom of darkness puts their hand into you and starts you chirping so that you will do their bidding, which is division. Therefore, instead of that, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to play defense in the evil day. When's the evil day? Every day, every moment. They don't take a vacation. And having done everything, stand firm. Gird your loins with truth, your integrity, your choices. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Act like royalty. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be comforted by the fact that you've responded to the gospel message. And take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Why? Because the evil one is always challenging your faith. Your confidence in the one you have placed confidence in. And take the helmet of salvation, your deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, God has given us what we have asked for, and we asked for this place. Can we enjoy it now? Or do we have to continue to listen to the incessant chirping of cowards in the background who destroy the spirit of unity in a church? Because I contend that the chirping is the reason people hate to come to Barah Ministries. Because they have told me that. Why don't you ask? And I contend that this is a sad commentary about our integrity as Christians. And I am sick of being silent about it, and I refuse. If you make me name names, you make me tell situations, I'll do it. But I'm not going to tolerate it. Even if they're empty seats, I'm not tolerating it. I am done tolerating it. Forever. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back because he cares for you. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He who gives strength to the weary and to him who lacks might, he increases power. The closing song, You Own Me.
You own me. My life belongs to you, and you alone. You owe me. You are my Savior seated on the throne. You are my Master and Lord. You make my life worth living for my life you have a plan. Your slave to righteousness I am, and you owe me. You satisfy the Father by laying down your life for me. In eternity past, you made the choice to die twice on the tree. And in those 3 hours of darkness, you paid the ultimate. Then you said it is finished. After your sacrifice, you entered into spiritual death so that I could enter into spiritual life. And you owe me. Your resurrection's key to my new. Oh, me, I died with you, and now we're both alive. You're on your temple, Emmanuel, in me the Trinity indwell. You are the air my soul breathes, the spirit placed to seal on me, and you.
Somebody had to do it, June. I'm just saying. Beautiful. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you give us so much. You give us this church. You give us a pastor. You give us your word. You give us yourself. I pray that all that are at the other end of this message might realize the seriousness of what you've done for us, not take it for granted, not become familiar with it, not profane it, but instead embrace it. And that they might reach down deep inside themselves and see what you've given them. And that they might bring it forward and let it be evaluated. And I pray that you help us not to forget that there are a lot of people who could benefit from this ministry who are less fortunate than us. And who need this and who are positive to it and who want it. And just because we're busy playing our first world problem game, they aren't getting what they need. We pray that you help us to stop that by any means necessary, Father. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your magnificent person, your clear thinking, your unbelievable work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.